Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Alrighty, here we go. You're listening to Garbled Twistery, and we have arrived at the pivotal moment that the past months have been leading up to. Yes, I'm talking about the fateful 1824 election, and judging from all of the turmoil that's been brewing, things are gonna get dicey. This being the case, it's only fair to set the stage a little before unlocking the chaos. Okay, so, ironically, this all starts with everybody feeling awesome, okay? There was this whole stretch where Man Ray was running things and literally nobody was feeling political enough to make a fuss. Well, except those Federalists, obviously. But the state of that particular after-school club was so abysmal that they had a whole meeting at Connie Ty Cutt's house and disbanded, like, forever. What does that mean, exactly? It means those leftover Federalists, yeah, they ended up dissipating into the large Democrat-Republican political population. Take a moment to consider the implications of this. Yes, this will complicate things for sure. But yeah, everyone was feeling so good. They made a new national bank and charged new taxes, and everybody was okay with it. These are all things Tommy Pickles wasn't about. And that dude was not only Prezi-Wezi, he volleyball served up the president after him. So yeah, things are a-changing, okay? But there's this thing that happens when U.S. political parties start getting too comfortable. And it's happening for the first time here. You see, because the Democrat-Republicans were so comfortable, nobody was worried about towing the party line, so a whole bunch of factions started germinating within this after-school club simply because there was enough political breathing room for it to happen. Man Ray saw this happening and was all like, not in my wheelhouse, so he tried to get the leaders of the competing warlord factions in the kitchen cabinet. The ones who agreed? Billy Crawfish of the Lin Kuei, the Quincy of the White Lotus, Johnny Calcutta of the Black Dragon, and Nancy Drew Jackson of the Special Forces. The only shogun who refused this offer to keep being passive-aggressive at everybody? The Clay Man,
representative of the Brotherhood of the Shadow.
Oh, and don't get me wrong, just because 80% of the factions are playing nice in Man Ray's kitchen cabinet doesn't mean they won't get out the pitchforks when election time comes around. And a couple things happened that really, really sharpened these pitchforks. The first, the economy went haywire because the war money went away, so all these risky bank loans just started wrecking the collective wallet into an unrecognizable position. Nothing gets people to be politically angrier like losing money. The second thing, slavery. Slavery always raises the blood pressure. So when Missouri was trying to become a state and slavery was brought up, hoo-wee, you could kiss that era of good feelings goodbye. So combine all that with the individual stories described in the previous episodes, and you'll have an idea of the passive-aggressive mucus that is contaminating the air the Democrat-Republicans are breathing. I mean, sure, last time everyone was on the same page, but that was 4 years ago. This is now. Man Ray has already won twice. He ain't running again. And Danny Tompkins, out of the question, after all that drama he caused, not to mention his back problems or whatever. This time, it's open season. Let's take a look at the official cactus. What are they thinking? It looks like some crawfish with some gelatin on the side. I mean, this would be influential if people didn't boycott the official Democrat-Republican cactus itself, writing it off as a sham. And that side order of gelatin? Yeah, everybody's apparently allergic. The man's not credible. So instead, Nathan Bacon was the quote-unquote official vice principal nominee. But the weird thing about the cactus this time is that a bunch of states from all over the country were growing their own cactus farms. So this election map is going to look like a four-player game of Risk. And the names of the players? Well, obviously there's Billy Crawfish. There's that Quincy from Bleach who wants vengeance for his dad. There's violent warlord Nancy Drew, and that sassy ball of Play-Doh. And all these players had some cacti in their backyard. Nancy Drew didn't even realize he had cacti, was literally about to go into retirement until some Tennessee peeps were like, yo, run for president, buddy. But whatever. Let me tell you how the game board looks. You see, the Quincy for Bleach has New England, and that Clayman has the Kentucky area, and Crawfish has Virginia and the Lima Beans. And Nancy Drew, he had everyone else all over the place. As far as campaigns were concerned, nobody was honestly voting the issues. I mean, who do you think Americans are, book readers? But if I had to put an issue on the table, I'd say the voters were probably yelling on Facebook about infrastructure more than anything else. But whatever. I bet you're wondering about the vice principal spot. Well, both the Quincy and Nancy Drew want Johnny Cowhide for that job. The Quincy wants him for divide and conquer reasons exclusively. No, really, Johnny Cowhide, like, hates that man. Nancy Drew want him because Nancy Drew wanted him. And honestly, Cowhide isn't gonna sit there and not accept votes, is he? Okay, I know what you're thinking. If they weren't campaigning the issues, what were they campaigning with? To that, I got two words for you. Theme songs. No, really. They take the Billboard Top 100 and just replace the words. Nancy Drew had his whole Hunters of Kentucky theme song from that completely unnecessary New Orleans battle that made him a war hero. Another way these campaign battles were fought were through, like, newspaper cartoonists. Yeah, that's right. They used AP history exam questions as political warfare. I mean, freaking Johnny Cowhide was a whole newspaper editor. You think he's not gonna do a little razzle-dazzle? Think again! Think again! Then again, Cowhide is also a little bit of an exception in that he is directly working the PR. Most of the other candidates just let the volunteers do the campaign and... So, what's the sitch? How did all this nonsense turn out? Well, the Quincy won New England, there's Plato in the West, and Crawfish in the South, and Nancy got all the rest. So yeah, it's literally a four-way deadlock for the Iron Throne. There's gonna be a round two, and it's gonna be in the House of Reps. Bring ya boxing gloves. And obviously Johnny Cowhide won the vice principal spot because he was on two warlord tickets. Anyways, what are the rules to round two of this 1824 election? Well, if one consults the Constituti, only the final three are allowed to participate. So, smell ya later, ya clay man. Also, every House of Reps state, they only had one vote. One. This means you gotta have 13 to truly win the Iron Throne. Oh, who's this bursting through the front door? It's Henry. You got something to say, Plato? Here, take the mic. The only thing Nancy Drew has ever done was murder people. If you vote for his phony butt, you're basic. Oh, it looks like he dropped the microphone. Bye, Henry. Yeah, Mr. Clay was really put in a bind here because he hates Nancy, but he hates crawfish infrastructure policy equally as much. So the closest neighbor politically was the Quincy, and he doesn't necessarily love that man either. Anyways, the folks in Kentucky were pulling out all the stops to get the House of Reps to vote for Nancy, but they were like, LOL, no, we like the Quincy. He wants to avenge his dad. And the Quincy? He got exactly 13 votes. The Quincy won the Iron Throne by a hair on his chinny chin chin. Needless to say, Nancy Drew was mad, okay? This dude got a lot of votes from all over in round one, both popular and electoral style, and he was thinking that, logically, if there's a single House of Rep vote from every state, he should have had it in the bag. But instead, some pencil pusher from the land of clam chowder takes it. This cannot stand. Oh look, here's an anonymous letter in a random Philadelphia newspaper that says Mr. Clay literally sold his votes to the Quincy from Bleach for that sweet, sweet secretary job. Oh, and would you look at that? The Quincy offered the secretary job to the Clay man, and he took it! Well, honestly, the rumor itself wasn't investigated to be proven or disproven, so Henry figured whether he took the job or not, the gossip wouldn't stop either way, so he took the job! And as we know, if you get that sweet, sweet secretary spot, that's literally interpreted like the new president declaring you the next president, because that's literally what happened three times in a row already. And if you think Nancy Drew isn't seeing all this and isn't connecting the potentially imaginary dots out of respect for hard evidence, You don't know Nancy Drew. Yeah, we haven't heard the last of him. In fact, I feel like he's just getting started. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, La Vida Loca, you can find Garbled Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbledtwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbledtwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to Patreon and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but you'll gain the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content, and the current bonus is about cards telling you what to do competitively. I know, sounds fun, don't it? Anyways, next time we make a fateful return to the in-between election episodes, and in 1825, we're getting to the bottom of these people who keep knocking on your door talking about the Lorne. Who are they, and why are they doing this already in 1825? Tune in next time to find out.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Bring ya boxing gloves.